Hi, I'm Misha Ketchell, editor of The Conversation. For democracy to work, people need to be well informed. That's why we work with academic experts to share their research and explain issues in the news. Everything we do is free to republish, but we need your support. Please donate to The Conversation by going to donate.theconversation.com or following the link in the show notes.
Hello, I'm Michelle Grattan, and this is the Conversations Politics podcast. Now the budget has been delivered, the government has two challenges. One is to sell it to the general community and to the particular stakeholders. The other is to get it through the Senate. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann is in the front line of both operations, and he joins us today. Matthias Cormann, have economic and political circumstances forced the government into a second-best budget?
Not at all. I mean, the budget delivered by the Treasurer yesterday builds on the progress that we've made since our first budget. We came into government with a long-term responsible economic plan to strengthen growth, create more jobs, and to get the budget back into surplus as soon as possible. You've got to remember that when we came into government, we inherited a weakening economy, rising unemployment, a budget position which was rapidly deteriorating with spending growth that was unsustainable. We have been able to turn that situation around. Economic growth is now strengthening. Jobs are growing more strongly than they were, and the budget is now heading in the right direction. Have we made as much progress as we would have liked? No, but we are now making progress, heading in the right direction. We obviously had to adapt to changing global economic conditions, to changing domestic economic conditions, but our economic plan is, of course, flexible enough to do that.
It is a fairly soft budget, and some commentators see it as an election budget. Do you think the government will run full term?
I'd completely reject that this is an election budget. Of course we want to serve our full term. I mean, this is a budget that Australia needs right now. It is a budget that is framed after very careful consideration in the context of our current economic conditions. Obviously, since we came into government, we faced some unexpected global economic headwinds beyond our control. We're not complaining about it, that is just life, that is what happens. Whoever is the government of Australia, global commodity prices would have gone the way they have. No Australian government of either political persuasion controls what happens to global commodity prices. And when you have prices for a commodity like iron ore, which generates 21% of our national export income, go from $120 a tonne when we came into government to $60 a tonne before Christmas, and now in the 40s in recent weeks, then obviously the $90 billion worth of tax revenue write-down is going to have an impact on the speed in which you can achieve fiscal consolidation. But despite all of that, despite all of the additional headwinds, despite the challenges in the Senate, we have remained on the same timetable back to a budget surplus as we had in place in last year's budget. I mean, the reason we've achieved that is because we've kept spending growth under control.
So was the fall in the iron ore prices the hardest challenge, you would say, in putting this budget together?
Losing $90 billion in expected tax revenue is certainly a pretty significant challenge. And given that there was a level of debate in the Parliament about some of our savings proposals, that obviously added to the challenge. But despite all of that, we have made progress. We are heading in the right direction. The government spending as a share of the economy is reducing from 25.9% this year to 25.3% over the four estimates. The deficit is reducing, $35 billion in 15-16, below market expectations, reducing to under $7 billion in the final year of the forward estimates, and a projected surplus in 2019-20, which is the exact same year that we were expected to get back into surplus in last year's budget.
Just a housekeeping sort of question. How did the decision-making process differ this year from last year?
Well, we certainly learned from the experiences with last year's budget. I mean, as the Prime Minister, the Treasurer, myself have said on a number of occasions now, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, we clearly tried to do too much at once in our first budget. And so we certainly went out of our way to ensure that on all of the major measures where there were major changes contemplated, we consulted appropriately inside and outside the Parliament to ensure that we got the balance right, to ensure that we dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, and we believe that with you know, the budget that we've ended up with is responsible, it is measured, and it is fair.
And of course, you announced in full some key measures beforehand. You felt that worked?
Well, you know, once we were ready to press ahead, we thought that the best thing we could do was to take the Australian people into our confidence, and certainly, you know, it seems to me that that has been quite successful.
How do you rate the reaction to the budget so far?
Look, I'm not a commentator. My job as part of the economic team has been to help put the budget together, a budget which is the next step in our responsible long-term economic plan to strengthen growth, create more jobs, and get the budget back to surplus as soon as possible. I leave it to others to make an assessment on how the sales job is going and what the product is like.
Are you happy with the reaction? Or?
Well, I'm happy that we have.
Happy it's over.
Well, no. I'm happy that we've put together a good budget. I'm happy that the budget that we've put together is the right budget for these times, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to persuade the Australian people that we got the balance right in this budget.
Assuming the government runs full term, you will need an election budget next year. So doesn't that put off the opportunity for tough fiscal decisions until a second term?
The way we approach budgets is based on what is in the national interest. We consider a whole lot of information about where we're at, a whole lot of information about the challenges ahead, and we make judgments about the best way forward, judgments about how we can put Australia on the strongest possible foundation for the future. That is our focus. We're not focused on election timetables. Yes, of course, in the ordinary course of events, there's an election due in the second half of next year. And you know, in the lead up to that election, we'll seek to explain to the Australian people what we have achieved. We will put forward to the Australian people our agenda for a second term. And if the Australian people think that we've done a good job and that we've got the right ideas for a second term, hopefully we'll be successful.
How confident are you of the forecasts and projections over the medium term, which will be very important, of course, in terms of your timetable to surplus? The budget papers do talk a lot about risks.
Well, budget papers always very openly and transparently identify the risks. I mean, we are confident that they are realistic forecasts based on realistic assumptions, based on the best available information at this point in time. Now, the truth is the world never stands still. Things change. Global economic conditions change. Domestic economic conditions change. We have a plan that is adaptable to changing economic conditions. And can I give you a guarantee that nothing will change in the months and years ahead? No, of course I can't. But what I can tell you and what I can reassure you of is that we have taken the best possible advice, we have relied on the best available information at this point in time to frame the budget and to make judgments about what is likely to happen over the next 4 years.
Now, bracket creep hasn't been addressed for some years, and you're not in a position to do that now in this budget. Is this going to be a major challenge for a second term?
Well, we would like to address bracket creep. We would like to reduce income taxes, but the only way you can reduce income taxes when you're in a deficit position is by cutting expenditure. Now, you know, we've tried to cut expenditure in a range of areas without getting any support from the Labor Party. The Labor Party right now is opposing $30 billion worth of savings. They're even opposing savings that they themselves initiated and banked in their last budget. So the point here is, I mean, right now, the Labor Party is not telling anyone what savings they would be pursuing. All the Labor Party is talking about is additional taxes, which would bring taxes as a share of the economy even further up. Like, so we want to bring taxes down. But the only way we can responsibly do this is if we get more of our savings measures through the Parliament.
And don't spend too much. And well, one of the big spending areas coming up, of course, is going to be the NDIS. Surely you'll have to try to somehow delay the full impact of that or make some adjustment
well,
to that?
Well, I mean, we have worked very hard to get spending growth under control. We inherited spending growth from the previous government, running at about 3.6% above inflation, in breach of their supposed target of constraining growth in spending to 2% above inflation. We have been able to bring spending growth down to 1% on average per year in our first budget, and it is running at about 1.5% per year in our second budget. That is much better than the 3.6 under Labour. It's much better even than their target. Now, but you are right. The NDIS is one of the major drivers of growth in spending. It is expected to grow by about 67% over the current forward estimates above inflation. That is a significant challenge, and we do need to ensure that we can find savings in other parts of the budget to make room for that growth in expenditure. We are committed to the NDIS. It is a bipartisan initiative. It is something that we're committed to ensure is funded in a fiscally sustainable basis. The previous government didn't fully fund it, and that is there's still more work to be done to get ourselves into the appropriate position.
You don't think both sides swallowed more than they could chew on this?
Well, I mean, the previous government initiated it, we supported it, and, you know, we are now trying to ensure that it runs in the best possible way. Mitch Fifield, the Assistant Minister for Social Services, is doing an excellent job working with the states and territories and with relevant stakeholders to ensure that it is managed the best possible way.
Now, you're relying on the small business package to boost confidence and investment. Why do you think business confidence, as measured by the surveys, has been so much flagging recently?
Well, I mean, there's obviously a range of factors that that sort of run into this, and global economic conditions being one issue. I mean, when you have price for a commodity which represents 21% of your national export income fall as dramatically and as quickly as it has, then that obviously flows through the remainder of the economy. Now, what we've sought to do in this budget is strengthen growth, in particular in the non-mining parts of the economy, and that is why we've given a 1.5% tax cut to small business, including unincorporated businesses in practice, and that is why we've offered the opportunity to businesses with an annual turnover of less than $2 million to immediately write off against their tax liability up to $20,000 they might invest in growing their business more strongly, being more successful and employing more Australians. And because we believe that small business as the engine room of the economy, generating one out of two new jobs in Australia right now, that is the best way that we can boost growth in the years ahead.
Now, just finally, you as a senior minister in the Senate obviously do much of the heavy lifting in that chamber. Are you confident that it will be easier this time than it was last time to get most of the budget through?
When we delivered our last budget, Labor and the Greens still had control of the Senate. People tend to forget that. The new Senate only came into place on 1 July, which was after our budget was delivered. Look, I mean, over the past year, we've been successful in relation to a number of very important matters, and we are still continuing conversations in relation to other matters. That is business as usual in the Senate. I suspect that will continue. I am looking forward to working with the new leader of the Greens, Senator Di Natale. My impression is that he will take a more pragmatic and a more outcomes-focused approach to relations with the government, but let's wait and see.
Got a lot of talking ahead. Matthias Cormann, thank you very much.
Always good to be here.
And that's all for this Politics podcast. Thank you to my producer, Matt Dawson. We've got more coming on Budget Reaction.
I was saved by God to make America great again.
An autocrat loves a crisis. A crisis is the way that they mobilize their base.
While America is under invasion from within, we're under invasion from within.
He's testing the boundaries of what he can get away with.
We should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military.
We've asked six of the world's preeminent scholars how we can measure the make of an autocrat. It's a recipe of sorts, tried and tested by the most infamous leaders in history.
Hugo Chavez in Venezuela.
Vladimir Putin in Russia.
Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler.
Viktor Orban in Hungary.
He's basically bulletproof in terms of criminal prosecution.
Join us from December 29 as we explore Trump, the making of an autocrat, from The Conversation.